Being about the Father's business. You see, the text today, God's Word that is before us, is the only story that details an event between the Christmas story and Jesus' appearance with John at the Jordan River some three decades later. But what about those first 30 years of Jesus' life? Those years prior to that formal beginning in His ministry? All we have is this story about a 12-year-old boy, Jesus at the temple. At the heart of it all, the strange response of Jesus to His parents. "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? What is this?" The first thing today, it says, in some ways, this is very a common story. Jewish families of that day often made at least one pilgrimage of a year to Jerusalem. Here they come when Jesus was 12 years of age, just the right age for a bar mitzvah in his Jewish belief. And in his world, he was almost a grown-up. Up until this time, Jesus' father's business was that of a carpenter, Joseph. He would follow his earthly father's footsteps, but there would be more. There would yet to be more to come. Notice also the very common account of his separation from Mary and Joseph. Now think about this. To lose a child in a crowded place is a tragedy of overwhelming anxiety. Most parents at one time or another can recall a time when your child was there one moment and you turned around and they were gone. And then when you realized that child was gone, you freaked out, didn't you? You went looking for him, you panicked. Well, see, they had gone a whole day before they knew he was missing, and then when they went to search for him, they looked for him for three more days. You'd have had everybody in the creation called out, trying to find him. See, most parents would have had already fallen apart, and that's exactly kind of how they were when they found him. They went back, and when they realized he was gone, they looked, and they looked, and they looked. They backtracked, and they tried to find him, and they looked in every place. And days later, they were so upset. And when they walked in, it says, "We've been looking for you everywhere." Everywhere, that is, except where he was at in the temple. And as it seems, that was the last place that they went. Of course it's the last place they went. That's the place they found him. I mean, really. Nonetheless, this day, they finally find him and were, as we might also be, just a little bit upset. You're glad you found him and you want to love him, but then you want to just say, "Where have you been and why did you run away from me and why did you da-da-da-da?" But Jesus then takes center stage. He turns it around and, sounding more like an adult than a child, he reasons with his parents. "You should have known where I was," placing the blame on them for worrying about me. Then comes the word of teaching. "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" And they just kind of looked at him. The second thing, but it is a story that confronts us with the demands of believing faith. Notice here the astonishment the parents of Jesus sense as they hear these words. It would be for them a preview of what would follow. But in truth, they really had no idea what was happening. They really had no idea what was yet to come, as none of us do. We don't know what's going to happen when that child grows up. What we see now is a young Jesus going back to his parents' home after this event at the temple for those days, being subject to them and waiting for some 18 years before he would look up that day. He would say, "Okay, I'm through being a carpenter," and guess what he's going to do? He's going to get up and he's going to walk away. And he's going to move into a public realm and he's going to begin his teaching and preaching, and his ministry is going to begin. From the age of 12, from the time of birth to the age of 12. And then from 12 to 30. So there's lots of times that we don't know about. There's lots of times that we don't know what's going on. But he goes back home with his parents, and then at the age of 30, some 18 years later, he looks up from that carpenter's bench and he moves on. He begins to teach and preach his father's words. But move out, he would go. The claim to his life was not forgotten. He knew what was there from the beginning. His Father's business, that of the Heavenly Father, had not evaporated. It was still there in the back of his mind. It was still in his heart. He knew what he was put here for. From this point on, Jesus had a new directness to his life. He knew what he was going, where he was going. Faith in the Father's business changes things. Of all people, we, you and I who are Christians, should know that it is never enough to leave the baby in the manger. You knew it's never enough to leave that baby there. We talked about this on Christmas Eve, that we can't let the manger, we can't look at the manger without looking at the cross of Calvary, and we can't look at the cross of Calvary without looking at the manger, seeing it in the shadows. They come together. Some will pack Jesus up. They'll put him away until next year, but we cannot and we will not. Some of you pack up all that stuff and put it away real quick, get it out of the way. I leave my manger scene out all year round. In fact, I leave my Christmas tree up all year round too. I mean, that's just, I have thanked because the house is big enough I can do that in the living room. But downstairs here, as we go out this back door, and some of you need to go out that way once in a while, look at that beautiful cabinet. It is full of manger scenes of all kinds. Little ones, big ones, in-between ones are made out of various things. But it reminds us that what? That we are always about this, that we leave them up, that we don't put Jesus away, that we don't put him away, that we don't stuff him in a box and get rid of him. So our faith tells us that we will choose in all the days that lie ahead to live as faith dictates, lovingly and sacrificially living in by faith. That's what he wants us to do. That's what our life tells us. The third thing today is we are called to follow Jesus out of Jerusalem and into the life of preaching, teaching, and ministry. That life will surely take its twists and turns. We can anticipate and we will often seem complicated and confusing in this world. That path will take us all the way to a cruel, ugly cross on which the Prince of Glory died, and beyond to the glorious resurrection on the first day of Easter Sunday. You see, we may well miss the specifics of life in many of those around us. Yes, we might. But we dare not neglect the life of Jesus. And once we are turned to those things of life, those little things of life, we are far from prepared to listen intently to the life issues of those around us. We believe that each day and in each life that Jesus is at work doing the Father's business. Surely we don't understand it all, but we do trust Him, we do love Him, we do commit to follow Him all the days of our life. No, we don't understand it all from the very beginning. We don't know why He calls some and He doesn't call others. We don't understand why He allows some to make it and some to not. We don't understand, but a lot of it is the choices that we make along the way. He is always there for us. He is always there. We can't answer all those questions. We don't know. You know, we have to commit to follow Him all the days of our life. You see, we have said Merry Christmas, hopefully for the last time. I myself am having a hard time because we've been saying all, so when you greet somebody, you say, Happy New Year. Now is the time to enter into the joy of the life of a disciple.